And we're back after a week off. NRL Live episode 42. We're getting through them this year. We're going to talk all about Supercoach and all the games from the last round 2 weeks back, plus what's happened in this week in league. Of course, pretty big week. Talk about all of that, and of course look at this week's games also, and World of Sport. Tigers MS with us as always. How are you, mate?
Good, how are you?
Doing well, and enjoying being back in it after missing last week. Pete, unfortunately, can't be with us tonight, but we're going to go through all the games for you, including a close look at the Supercoach, where it's heading at the moment. We've got Origin not too far away, so yeah, it's going to have to start thinking about that. In the meantime, just trying to get all your squad down to get, obviously, as many points as possible. Last round was 2 weeks ago. We saw Brisbane defeat North in Queensland 12-10. The Roosters thrashed Canterbury 38-0. Newcastle beat Penrith 8-6. Canberra defeated the Warriors 20-16. Souths went down to Melbourne 17-10. Manly defeated Cronulla 25-18. St George got a goal, got a close 1-point victory 13-12 over the West Tigers, while Gold Coast 28 defeated Parramatta 22. And last week's games, well, Sonny Bill Williams and James Maloney, they certainly went big and got huge points for the Roosters over the Bulldogs. Bulldogs are now the clear worst team in scoring Supercoach points. Tigers MS, we did predict last week that Robbie Farah would have a big game. And once again, he cracked the 100-point mark.
Yeah. I think that, well, just going back to the Roosters game, Sunnyville, we've been mooting it for a couple of weeks that he's coming good. And yeah, he busted out some big points for that one. Robbie Farah, well, he's not leading the Supercoach point score by fluke. he's doing very well, and it is coming down to not only by player, but who that player is playing against.
That's right, and unfortunately for him, his Tigers are actually the leakiest team in Supercoach. They give up more points than anyone else to their opponents, so that's something to consider as we do each and every week, and we'll go through later. The sleeper of the round, Justin Horro, he's a quiet achiever, Horro, and he had his first try of the year on Sunday, so that helped him to the 7th best score of the week. Now, he's at 182,600 this week. I think that's probably the best value for money, or certainly for last week. Whether he can get over the line again, I guess, is another question. And what we learned, Tigers MS, Parramatta continue to give up big points to speed men. This time, Albert Kelly and William Zillman got the big points for the Gold Coast Titans, and last year's big names Corey Parker and Sean Fenson are starting to put the slow start to the season behind them, and under this new point system they both made the top 10 this week. And finally, Josh Hoffman, well, he's the in-form Supercoach player at present. After three rounds, the fullback, now winger, was averaging 33 points, but the last 3 weeks he's averaging 91. So, Tigers MS, that's a guy you've kind of got to look at, potentially, particularly as he's a New Zealand player, so he'll be right for Origin, getting into your lineup.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it should be also noted that the Broncos are playing the Tigers, as we just noted before, that the Tigers leak a lot of fantasy or Supercoach points. And Josh Hoffman coming into form, he could well rack up into the hundreds here.
This is NRL Live. It's time to look at this week in league. We saw Australia 32 accounting for New Zealand 12 and Country 18 defeating City 12. Are both these games products of a bygone era?
Well, I'm going to go with the opposite of what everyone thinks. I think the Australia-New Zealand test for Anzac Day is done. Mm. New Zealand can't get it together. Stephen Kearney was on the TV the other day saying that they do better in the longer tournaments because they get more of a camaraderie together.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Australia, well, the core guys have been together, most of them are Queenslanders, so they've been together in Origin for that many series, they've been together in the Australian team. And, yeah, and it's obviously, it's in Australia more often than not, and, yeah, they just dominate.
It's just so totally biased towards Australia. New Zealand have a lot of their top players playing over in England. There's not enough time to bring them over. I totally agree with you. It's just not a fair situation playing that game.
No. On to City Country. This game can work if they put their heads together and actually have to think about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's no longer, like, I think the days are gone when you can say, oh, yeah, it's a fair dinkum Origin selection, because it's not.
No.
Well, what it is it could be an Origin selection for the contentious positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that this year they chucked a few young guys in there, like James Tedesco, Sirenen, yeah. Curtis Sirenen, that is. Those guys who really you'd think that they probably wouldn't have deserved a rep jumper at this stage of their career. However, I think that does so much good for those guys in terms of confidence and all that thing. And I think if they sorted it out, I mean, got the pricing right, I think, you know, it was in the paper being something like $60 for going to watch a football
seats,
game.
But even the basic seats were $30, which I think is more to the point.
That's ridiculous. If they have a think about it and use their head, they can make it a very viable and workable and enjoyable weekend. They could have a whole weekend of it in the country.
Well, let's see what they do if they even bring it back next year. But you're right, they've really got to turn that around and turn it into its own event with possible timing it with some sort of group competition, the finals of that, where actual country players get to participate and the kids are more involved and get to actually meet some of their heroes. We look at Jamie Soward. He signed with the Panthers this week. Did the Dragons let him go, or was Penrith's offer simply too good to refuse?
I think Penrith would have put up a pretty good offer. I don't think the Dragons would have let him go as such. I mean, they may have only had a certain amount of money to spend, and the Panthers are cashed up at the moment. And if they're not cashed up, then they're certainly spending it like they are. Soward, look, I think Penrith are screaming out for an organiser.
Yeah.
And Soward does that.
Hmm.
Whether or not it's going to work, it's all going to depend. I mean, Penrith have a very, very big forward pack, and they're not quite dominating as they probably should. And I think if that turns around next season, then Soward could play well right off the back of that. The successful years that St George had under Bennett, their forwards were quite dominant, and they gave Soward plenty of time to scheme. And his kicking game, when he's got time, it just bisected a lot of teams.
Well, yeah, I can tell you he's on $600,000 a year, so it's little wonder the Dragons couldn't match that. That's a huge pay, and he's going to have to attempt to earn every penny of it out there, because the Panthers have been struggling this year. Finally, a restructure with the NRL. Dave Smith has put in basically seven different streamlines underneath him, including finance, marketing, digital and content, corporate affairs and community, strategy, commercial and operations, and the big one, head of football, Todd Greenberg, basically named second in charge there in the NRL. What do you make of it? Shane Mataseki is still there as strategy, but potentially taking a step back. Jim Doyle, the former New Zealand rugby league boss, now head of operations, and guys like, well, a couple of guys, Ian Shubert, for example, he's had somewhat of a demotion moving back underneath operations with Jim Doyle. And also Nathan McGurk and Andrew Hill are no longer in that sort of, I guess, inner circle.
Yeah. Well, I think it's probably a good move, and it's moving in the right direction in terms of setting it up like a business, as you should and as you have to now these days. I'm not so sure as the timing of it. Was it? It must have been planned. It couldn't have been. Well, I really hope it wasn't like a knee-jerk reaction to the criticism that was levelled at the head of the organisation. This all in the last couple of weeks, really. I think that Todd Greenberg is probably being groomed to be CEO of the NRL, and I'd be surprised if he wasn't in that position in the next 2 years.
Wow. It would be a quick turnaround if Dave Smith was shown the door. Potentially he's not sort of found it as much to his liking as maybe he originally thought it would be. Maybe there's already a transition being put in place there. But I guess for this stage, if they take him on his word and he's trying to restructure, and we'll see how it goes. And we'll cover it here, of course, as always, on NRL Live. And you can follow us on Twitter. TigersMS is at TigersMS78, while I'm at Paulie G Sports. Go to the website, www.pauliegsports.com, or simply subscribe via iTunes, punch in NRL Live or Supercoach, and it will pop up there for you. And speaking of Supercoach, that's what we do here on the podcast. And TigersMS, we're going to go through each of the games this week, and we'll let you know what we think, what players are good to buy or good to play this week, who maybe your captain should be, and also which players maybe you should avoid playing for this week. And we're going to start with the Roosters v the Dragons.
Yeah, well, Roosters, stingiest team to score against in Supercoach. I think that with the Dragons, and like, I mean, this game is a little bit of an anomaly. It's one of those ones where form doesn't really count for anything because of the feeling involved in the game and the day itself.
The tradition.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It'd be tough to, if you've got some middle-of-the-road Dragons players in your team, you might want to sit them on the bench and not play them.
Yeah.
Because the Roosters, yeah, are making it very tough for opposition teams.
Yeah.
Dragons are the seventh easiest team to score against, and they give up a lot of the hit-ups over 8 metres. And when you have a forward pack like the Roosters' bench this week is absolutely massive. It does point to the Roosters scoring a lot of points. And then, of course, you have Sonny Bill Williams, who is in good form, has just put in about 119 points, I think it was, last round.
119, yes.
He could easily do that again. And you were saying before, we'll be talking about who could be made captain. You probably think Sonny Bill would be in the top three on that list.
Yeah, I think if you've got Sonny Bill, which hopefully if you've been listening to the podcast, you do, it's a good week to make him captain, let's face it. Another guy who's been on a bit of a hot streak is Roger Tavasashek. Makes a lot of metres off the wing with hit-ups, so I think he's a must-play this round. And Sam Moa, 206,800, he's my buy of the week. He's the best hit-up man for 8 metres and above, that is, on the Roosters lineup, and considering the Dragons give up more of those than any other team, he should be in for a big one. Like you said, with the Dragons, unless you've got Trent Merrin or Jason Nightingale, I think you might want to bench them this week. The other game on Thursday is the Storm and the Warriors. It's the late game, and the Storm, well, they're just behind the Roosters as far as the points scored this year. So I guess pretty much play Melbourne players at your want.
Yeah, I reckon so. However, this is still one of those games, and the Warriors do tend to give the Storm a tough time.
Yes, they match up well against them.
However, you know, it's one of those games where, I mean, if you have someone like Cam Smith, he's going to give you points each week, but this week, he has a good chance of adding to that and getting more and getting some tries, because the Warriors give up more tries than any other team. Well, actually, not more tries, but they're equal with the Panthers and the Raiders. So
yeah, no team gives up more tries than the Warriors. And the thing with Smith, he hasn't actually scored yet this year, despite all the points. Which is quite incredible, because he's right up the top there as far as total points for Supercoach is concerned. So the fact that he hasn't actually scored a try, which is worth 17, is amazing. In fact, him and Robbie Farah, two top players in Supercoach, neither of them have scored a try.
Yeah, just points out the amount of work that those guys do. And I guess if these guys get a try, and I mean, generally when a hooker gets a try, there's a double in the works somewhere, because they're always looking to get one. Yeah, it could be a big chance of having a 100-plus round for Smith.
Yes, exactly. There's some other good players for Melbourne, May, Fanoa and Cooper Cronk. I'd be probably playing them if you have them, or well, you should be playing them anyway, but if you don't have them and you can afford them, I'd be getting them. While a guy who's been going well lately is Conrad Hurrell, but I'm thinking that considering the Storm are the fourth hardest team to score against, might be best leaving him on the bench this week. Did notice one thing, however, with Sean Johnson. Now, he is horribly inconsistent. Only scored 22 last week against a normally easy to score against Canberra Raiders outfit. Now, we've looked at the stats. He could actually be in for a good week, because the Storm give up a reasonable amount of tries, considering how stingy they are, and forced dropouts as well. So that's where they sort of let a few out. Johnson is the Warriors' best in both these departments. So potentially, if the Warriors, like you said, are able to keep it close with the Storm, which traditionally they have, then Sean could be on the back of Sean Johnson in particular.
Yeah, exactly right. I agree with that. If it's close, then the Warriors give a good account of themselves, then Sean Johnson will probably be in the points.
Jacob Lilium back from injury this week. We'll be keeping an eye on him. But no Ryan Hinchcliffe, who's been in fine form for Melbourne. So that's a bit of a blow if you were able to pick him up recently. He's certainly been doing well for you. But you've still got Tohu Harris there, who's should be pretty much in everyone's team right now. Got a tip as to who's going to win the match?
I think Melbourne still. They're just in very good form. And they did it against the Rabbits very well, and I think they'll continue to do so until the rep State of Origin comes around and they start losing some players.
Yeah, it could be the toughest game they'll have to date, but I'm still seeing the Storm winning by two. And in the earlier game, we didn't mention, but I think the Dragons are actually going to cause a bit of an upset there over the Roosters. Do you think that that's possible?
It's possible, but I think the Roosters are in pretty good form. I know the Dragons won last week, but they didn't really win all that well. They should have had the game wrapped up, and the Tigers came back in, I think it was 3 minutes' time. They had the game just about evened up.
Yes.
And see, after all that work from the Dragons, and I can't see the Roosters letting go of the opportunities that the Tigers did.
No, it probably wasn't the greatest standard of rugby league, although it was an exciting finish there two Sundays ago. But emotion does funny things to football teams.
And, very true.
We will see what happens. Friday night footy, this game should be a belter. Manly v Souths. I'd say a great game of rugby league, but a bit of a nightmare as far as Supercoach is concerned, because when two top teams come against one another, it's a little bit of a lottery.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. The problem is, as you were saying, we've got players who have underperformed the previous round. And then you got guys like Sam Burgess, George Burgess, and Greg Inglis, who have been great for Souths, who have been great if they're in the Supercoach team.
Yep.
All season. Inglis has a little bit of a hip complaint. The press is talking it up that he's, you know, struggling with it, but you can be guaranteed that if he was going to be left out of the team, he'd be left out of the team as of now, sort of thing. So I don't think you have a problem there.
Well, here's one for you. With Origin not too far away, and Inglis obviously will be playing in those games, do you drop him? Take your money and run.
Oh, jeez. I would say if you can pick up someone who's of a similar...
Yeah.
Of a similar point scoring, no doubt you'll get them for less and have some money in the bank for later on.
Mm.
I reckon if you're a brave coach, then you do so.
Part of the problem, he's actually minus 30,000 from his starting costs. So unless you only just picked him up, which even so, he's actually at his cheapest cost right now, 318. So you're going to lose money on him if you drop him now. But if he's got this hip complaint and he can't put points on the board, he's going to only lose you more. And at some point, you might have to bite the bullet. So it's going to be a very interesting question. If not this week, maybe very soon. But at this stage, we're saying keep him and play him because he is a superstar of the game and we still imagine that he'll put up points. On the other hand, Manly, well, they continue to play well. They're the second toughest team to score against, but they've got lots of their own players who actually score very well. They're very consistent. We talked about Justin Horror already, but Tom Simons is another one who's been given great value for money. And then you've got guys like Steve Maddai and Joe Nalivau who are going very well also. And as far as the cost per point ratio is concerned, those guys are very high on the list.
Yeah, they are. Problem is with Nalivau, I think he's gone for the year.
Wow.
He did his Achilles last round six, I think it was.
That's a huge blow.
Yeah, it is a huge blow. And if he's in your team, you've got to get rid of him because he ain't going to be playing again this year.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Just going back to... two guys who could score some points, and I mean, in a game that's going to be tough in the middle, and it might come down to try scoring along the edges. Nathan Merritt versus George Tafua, both try scorers. Both of them have had their excellent weeks in Supercoach, so it could be a good little battle between those two as well. If you want to hedge your bets and you can afford them both, chuck them both in your team and see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And Souths, well, they're not the easiest matchup, but they're still eighth overall for giving up points, so there's no reason to think that those Eagles players, although Tafua was a bit disappointing last week, expect him to bounce back this week. Who are you tipping to win?
I think Manly. I know they're not second on the ladder or anything like that, and it's probably, Storm Rabbits, but I actually think the Seagulls are probably the second best team in the league at the moment.
Yeah, they're playing well. They obviously was probably a bit tighter than they hoped last start against the Sharks. They still got away with the victory. I think they'll probably be too strong for the Rabbitohs in a tight one at Brookie Oval. Saturday night footy up in North Queensland. The Cowboys take on the Canberra Raiders, and I guess the Raiders had been giving up the most points all year, but they've turned it around lately. They're now 13th overall, so still low, but certainly better than they have been doing. I think the Cowboys, who sit 9th overall in scoring at home, probably you've got to like them in this matchup. You're looking at the Raiders being particularly leaky in the try and try assist categories, so you look at guys like Ash Graham, Kane Lynett, Antonio Winterstein. I think they're pretty much all must-starts if you have any of them.
Yeah, no, that's right. And also, you do have a guy that's playing for the Cowboys, got Jonathan Thurston, who does like setting up a try. So the try assists issue could be a big one.
Well, if you took our advice last week to buy him, because he was at his cheapest cost to under 300,000, 295, 100, he's back up to 304. And I think he's going to be even higher after this week.
Yeah, well, that's right. He's for a guy, who sets high standards, obviously higher standards are expected of him, even in the Supercoach world. He's still the fourth-ranked try-assist player.
Wow. And so as we were saying, looks like
the Raiders give up some try-assists. And so that guy, Thurston, is likely to have a big game.
And injury watch, we'll keep an eye on Terry Campisi, who's second game back. And at this stage, still...
That's right. Also, just from that game, Josh Papali. He's injured.
Yes.
So he won't be back till round nine. Well, it's alleged that he won't be back till round nine. So perhaps it's one of those situations where if you want to get rid of him, get rid of him. If you're just in the normal Supercoach game, if you're in the draft, that's when you've got to really have a think about it. He won't be back till round nine. Do you keep him, hang on to him? Because he has been putting up around an average of about 60 points a game.
Yeah, I think if you've got him in a draft situation, you've got to keep him. But like you say, $270,700 for a regular super coach, that could be too pricey to keep on your bench.
Yeah, for a guy who's going to be scoring nothing for you. So that's something to think about.
And I think, I'm tipping the Cowboys pretty comfortably. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys, especially at home, the Raiders have been playing much better and much tougher of late. But I think the trip up to the Cowboys stadium has undone many a team.
Yes, the stupidest name in sport, stadium, that is.
Yes,
that's... West Tigers versus the Brisbane Broncos bring some sanity back into proceedings at Campbelltown Stadium there on Saturday night. And it's the battle of the two most generous teams as far as giving away Supercoach points. So I'm thinking if you own anyone, good week.
Yep. Pack your team full of Tigers and Broncos because it's just going to be points first by the looks of things. I mean, you can't predict what happens, but going on the stats we got here, we mentioned Josh Hoffman before on a hot streak. Matt Gillette also going pretty well for the Broncos.
I like the Broncos players. In this game,
I just Corey Parker as well.
Tigers, if they've got a few injuries, I think they're bound to give up a bunch of points, to be honest.
Yeah, it's unless the Tigers have a real dig and something clicks with them, but they have a new half, new fullback, and they have Curtis Irinen playing 5'8 in place of Benji. You still have Robbie Farah there, who I would play regardless because he'll be doing a lot of work, Robbie Farah. If the Tigers get close to a win, Robbie Farah will have put up a heap of points.
Yeah, and James Tedesco back at fullback, he's been putting up some points. He's been switching with Maltz in the last couple of weeks and his points have gone through the roof. So now that he's permanently there, I just think he's a definite must play. And if you don't have him yet, must buy because he's still pretty affordable. But his price is just going to go up as this year goes on. He's a talent and a half, that kid.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely, if you can, chuck him in there.
Sunday afternoon footy. I should get you a tip before we move on.
Broncos, yeah.
The same with me. Sunday afternoon footy, Titans and the Knights. This is a battle of the stingy teams. We've just had the battle of the generous teams. The Gold Coast Titans, they are the fifth hardest team to score against, and the Knights are the third toughest team to score against. So despite the fact that the Titans are the fourth best scoring team, you wonder if this could be a week to leave some of those guys on the bench.
Yeah, look, I think it might be a case of the littler guys doing well, like Albert Kelly, who has been doing well all season, but I think this kind of game is made up for him. I would say he'd have a fairly quiet first half, but when things start to get a little bit tired, in the middle of the second, that's when I think he might come into his own. As for forwards, Mark Minicello returned from injury last week and put up some good points, I must say. However, that does also affect another player in the Titans side, Brian James.
Yes.
Who only got 25 limited minutes last week. And, you have to think about do you just... not playing this week until until you get a bit more of a read on how the Titans will play.
If you got Ryan James at the right time, you take your money and run now. You let him go. The only reason to keep him is the fact that Gold Coast have Nate Miles, Greg Bird, and Ashley Harrison, as well as Dave Taylor, in their forward lineup, and those guys are going to all play Origin. So Ryan James could suddenly be back in the minutes.
Yeah.
in a few weeks. But at this stage, possibly sell, we'd look to pick him back up down the road. In a draft situation, it's going to be a bit tougher, but still probably saying sell at this point.
Yeah. Now, turning to Newcastle, the Titans are the fifth hardest team to score against. So you have Tyrone Roberts, who may be better off on the bench.
Let's face it, he's been good for his price up to this point.
He's been great, actually. And it's one of those things where you just have to have a look. And if you've got a better player or a better alternative to playing Tyrone, this might be the round to do it.
Yeah, sure.
Look, basically, both teams are going to make the other team tackle them a lot, because a lot of it will be played in the middle, as with both with Cartwright and Bennett coach teams. So you guys like Ashley Harris and Nate Miles. And Robbie Rochelle, who is a good price.
He's a sleeper, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's a good player who does a lot of work in the middle. And Chris Houston, of course. Those guys will be doing lots of tackling, and this game will involve a lot of that.
Yeah, I think if you've got any of those guys, I think you can safely play them this week. I'm seeing big points for all of those guys. Who have you got to win? It should be a good game.
I'm going to go to the Titans for this one.
Yeah, it's up there. They're pretty tough to beat up there. We saw 2 weeks ago the Eels got run over, and perhaps a bit controversially. I think you're right. I think Gold Coast will win up there again. The other Sunday game, the Sharks v the beleaguered Bulldogs. Now that Greenberg's leaving as well, it just seems like nothing can go right for Canterbury. The Sharks, I guess you could say a similar thing for them so far this year. So both teams pretty much bottoming out at the moment. Someone's got to get a win, you'd think, unless we have another 90-minute draw like we did when the Sharks played the Roosters last year. As for Supercoach, I think the Bulldogs are now last on Supercoach points scored and third on the points allowed. So things don't look good from that perspective for Bulldogs players. The Sharks, only 10th on points scored, but they don't allow a lot of points. The sixth stingiest team for points allowed. So I'm thinking the usual suspects for the Sharks will probably do the business.
Yeah, those guys being Gallen, Hyington, Michael Gordon, who is really coming on in the last couple of weeks especially, and a guy who I think is a good get if you can fit him in your team, is Andrew Feeder.
He's a guy that you've mentioned in previous podcasts, and I tell you what, he's continued to put up good points. He's certainly one of the best rated players at the moment in 16th for cost ratio. So, you know, if you've already got him, keep playing him. And if you don't, go and get him. He's actually 10th overall.
Yep, seems like he's really liking the Sharks this season, and the Sharks are liking him. As for the Bulldogs, well, what can you say? They're not going great, and they're not going great Supercoach wise. Basically, there's no Bulldogs players you really want in your team at the moment. I think the top Bulldogs player is Aiden Tolan, and he's 43rd overall.
There's some interesting stats, because there's only two teams that aren't represented in the top 40, and that's the Warriors and the Dogs. The Warriors actually have five players within 40 and 100, so they've got, or 50 and 100, so they do get some players in. The Dogs have a total of four in the top 100, which is only team worse than that are the Tigers. So they're the worst, or second worst, in two categories there, and quite frankly, stay away.
Yep. until they start clicking, steer clear. Because if they start coming good, you'll be able to pick up some good players at good prices.
Exactly. And I've got the Sharks winning this one. What about you, Tigers and S?
Yeah, I think the Sharks definitely. Carney's back this week, and the Dogs, they're just struggling.
Monday night football, battle of the cellar dwellers, Penrith Panthers versus Parramatta Eels. Really, this is a pretty uninspiring clash. can you find anyone for either side that stands out?
Well, actually, I am going to find something, and the fact is that Josh Mansour is injured.
Oh, wow.
Big point scorer for the Panthers. And he won't be back until round 12.
Well, that's a huge blow because he'd been a lot of people's Supercoach teams, that's for sure. We raved on about him in the season preview, and I'm sure plenty of listeners took our advice because he's done well all the way up until, I guess, his unfortunate injury. Does this open up the door for Lewis Brown?
Look, Lewis Brown's been getting some decent points, I've thought, for the past couple of rounds.
Mm.
In the centre position, because he is one of those dual players who can be played in the second row as well.
Yeah.
I think there's a big chance for him to get some points up. However, I think the points for this game, the points are going to go to a bloke called Ryan Morgan in the Eels. Ryan Morgan has been great. You know, pretty much all season in a team that doesn't. Yeah, hasn't been scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, 40th overall in points scored. So that's huge for a guy that, you know, he started the season at 192,600.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Morgan, he'll get a little bit more ball and he'll get a little bit more space with the fact that both teams are struggling a little bit. Well, I don't think Parramatta so much struggling as they're a little bit unlucky. So I think the Panthers are going much worse. Mm. And that back line, Elware is now playing in the centres along with Lewis Brown.
Yeah, it's a big Travis shuffle.
Yeah, Travis Robinson on the wing. So I think there might be some communication issues there. And I think a guy like Sandow and Hain will be able to see those a mile off and exploit them.
And we've got our watch for this game would be on the young Penrith fullback Matt Moylan. We're big fans of the fullback position here on NRL Live. We know that it's a good opportunity to put up big Supercoach points if you can get game time there. So we're keeping an eye on him for sure this week.
Yeah, exactly right. He could be a guy who gets you a lot of points, and he won't be costing much at the moment. So definitely one to put on your watch list. The other guy for the Panthers is a guy off the bench, Seguiare. We've mentioned him pretty much every single show so far.
He's 28th overall coming off the bench. He's got to be the best, well, him and George Burgess, the best bench players in the comp. Well, I guess you've got to include Andrew Fifita in that.
No, well, yeah, exactly right. And he can play a variety of positions, and he does play at a variety of positions in the Panthers team, even when Kevin Kingston is on the field.
Mm.
So he can. I think he's a chance for a try this week, which will back up and just boost the amount of points that he will get. And I think he'll be one of the high scorers from this game.
I should qualify for feeders actually starting this week, so I guess he's moved away from that somewhat. But certainly, specialist bench player James Seguiare, 28th overall, that's a guy that you've got to keep playing until we know otherwise. And I like Vaiatutai, a young Parramatta winger. He's pretty affordable. I think he's about 126,000, I believe. So very affordable. And like we were saying earlier, pretty favourable matchup for him. While Tim Grant, well, he's got a... He wants to play Origin again, so maybe he's a guy for the Panthers that can have a big one there at home. I'm actually going to pick Penrith to win in a close one. What about yourself, Tigers?
I think the Eels will probably get them. I just think the Eels are playing better. But as is with both of these teams, you never know what they're going to throw up on their day.
All right, well, we're going to put all our tips up online. We'll get hold of Pete and get his tips as well. Put them online there, www.pauliegsports.com, and that's where you can get all the information, not only on the NRL, we actually do NFL on there as well. If you're interested in the NFL and the draft, which is happening this week, we've got that all on there for you as well. And another thing we'd like to do, and we had some links there for recent World of Sports. Is our World of Sports segment, and I've got one for you today, Tigers MS. And I tell you, I had a couple that I had to decide between, but in the end, this one is just something else. A Kenyan referee is suing the National Football Federation, saying he was left impotent after a coach grabbed and squeezed his testicles in a pitch invasion. Referee Martin Wakesa said he's seeking $240,000 US in compensation from Football Kenya Federation after the alleged assault in the game in September last year. He claims he was kicked and hit by members of the Sparky youth team before being, quote, attacked in my private parts, unquote, by one of the coaching staff. Wakesa says Dordi Kayembe came onto the field, assaulted him after a decision to send a Sparky player off. Here's another quote. He pulled my testicles. He actually pressed them, and I was hanging on him when he was pulling me. I was crying, and I could not get myself out from his hands, Wakesa said. I remember Kayembe told me, raising his hand, I can kill you in a minute, and came directly to my testicles. Wakesa was rescued by a police officer, he said, but slumped to his knees in pain on the pitch before being taken to the hospital. He said he's now unable to have sex with his wife, claiming it is, quote, impossible, unquote. He said, another quote is, it is so painful, painful, painful in my areas. So Kiambi's due to appear in court in Kenya's coastal city of Mombasa on Thursday on a charge of assault and causing grievous bodily harm. I've got to say, maybe Ricky Stewart was pretty upset with things the other week, but I guess at least didn't resort
to that. That's right. He's actually refrained a little bit.
With that, Tigers MS, I guess it's time we get on out of here. And thanks so much for being with us again this week. We'll talk to you again next week, of course.
See you later.
Of course, you can follow him at TigersMS78 and myself. I am Paulie G. Go on the website www.pauliegsports.com, or if you've got any super coach questions or anything about it, the NRL, tweet at Paulie G Sports. And you can, of course, subscribe to each and every week's podcast here about NRL and Supercoach at the iTunes. See you next week.